Hello and welcome to another The Last Post radio show, podcast series that you download anytime and listen to anywhere. And in keeping with our promise to have interesting and exciting guests on, we can't do much better than Mike Cowell and James Cook. Mike from the Port Stephens Koala Hospital and James Cook from the Port Stephens Koala Sanctuary, Managing Director and Business Development and Marketing Manager individually on Warramai Country. Hello to you both, Mike and James. How are you?
Well, thanks, Greg. Good to chat as always, Greg.
Yeah, wonderful stuff to the both of you, gentlemen. And look, I suppose it unfortunately is an ongoing issue with koala and the habitat, etc. We know that both of you, through your roles at the hospital and the sanctuary, are doing marvellous work. Mike, first, perhaps, what could you tell us about the endangered status, I suppose, of koalas around Australia? I know it's not so bad in Victoria and South Australia for some reason, but perhaps you could tell us about that too. But other states, it's a bit of a worry.
Yes, Greg. In Queensland, New South Wales, and ACT, they've been listed as endangered for about a year now. The numbers in those three states are dropping, or have dropped significantly over the last few years, but not in Victoria or South Australia. I think they're still dropping down there. I'm not exactly sure of the numbers, but numbers-wise, though, there's some difference of opinion as to what the actual numbers are, depending on who you talk to. But I think, generally speaking, there's probably twice as many koalas in Victoria and South Australia combined as there are in Queensland, New South Wales and the ACT combined. So, it's of some concern.
And look, why would that be, do you think, Mike? Why that difference in numbers in those states?
I'm not sure. Possibly just the availability of habitat. Victoria has a cooler climate than we do. They have some significant wildlife areas, I suppose, if you want to look at the mountain range areas. But I'm not sure the specific reason. I just know that, you know, across the board, the numbers are dwindling and that habitat loss is the prime concern.
Yes, it's a multi-layered issue, of course, habitat loss, and with the extension and expansion of the human race and development, etc., always puts them at risk. What about dog attacks and road incidents?
I suppose the habitat loss is probably the sort of the overarching issue that sort of generates all the other issues that we deal with, like dog attacks and hit by car and things like that. Because you lose habitat, the koalas have to move on to find new habitat. And in that process of moving, it puts them in contact with the population. And also the development, putting in more roads and things like that just makes it harder for
them. Yes, yes. Well said, unfortunately, a summation of what's going on. James, over to you at the Port Stephens Koala Sanctuary. You're in a beautiful setting there. And for anyone that hasn't been to the Port Stephens Koala Sanctuary or Hospital, it's in a beautiful setting in a beautiful area, 1 mile. Tell us a bit about it, James.
Yeah, Greg. Port Stephens Koala Sanctuary is, of course, a collaboration between Port Stephens Council and indeed the organisation that Mike heads up, being Port Stephens Koala Hospital. So Council obtained some grant funding in 2017 to build a koala hospital, as we'd identified that the decline in koala population numbers here in the Port Stephens region was being influenced by a lack of specialist veterinary facility. And so government agreed, gave us $3 million to get Mike and his team into some world-class veterinary facilities, which is really seen, I think, and Mike would probably concur, the fact now that, sick, injured and orphan koala that are brought into our care are only 5, 10, 15 minutes away from a world-class koala hospital, as opposed to potentially, you know, having to be driven hours to koala hospitals in Sydney or up in Port Macquarie.
Yes.
We know stress is something koalas do not do well, and, you know, being hit by a car or attacked by a dog and And then, you know, having to suffer the driving of a couple of hours really exacerbated the mortality rate of koalas. So we're certainly very pleased to play a role from government's perspective, being local government, to provide some quality facilities and assets for Mike and his vast team to be able to undertake that, you know, invaluable work that's ensuring the long-term survivability of here in the Port Stephens region.
Mm-hmm. Yes, true enough. And of course, James and the sanctuary there, we've been granted the blessing of being able to promote what you've been doing now for a number of years, and I've got to know the setup there fairly well. I'm always impressed. We're always impressed when we come up there. You've got a lot of things going on. You can even stay there. Tell us a bit about that, James.
Yeah, so as a part of the overall concept master plan, we were looking to ensure the recurrent funding would be available to assist operate the hospital year in, year out after, of course, it was built. Ways in which we were able to provide contributions financially is through a number of elements that the Koala Sanctuary offers. So not only, as you point out, the opportunity to visit for the day, but indeed we created an opportunity to wake up with Koala by staying overnight in deluxe four-star glamping tents. Now, these are luxe furnished and fitted with king-size beds, air conditioning, mini bars, en suites. It's a very remarkable and comfortable stay. And Greg, as you know, percentages of all revenues that we make here at the sanctuary go back to directly fund the ongoing conservation and preservation work that Mike and his team undertake every day here at the Port Stephens Koala Sanctuary. Mm-hmm. We must be doing things right, Greg, because of course, last week we were awarded a silver in the tourist attraction category of the New South Wales Tourism Awards. So being recognised by our peers and colleagues at being able to provide a quality tourist attraction for both domestic and international visitors to enjoy when they visit Port Stephens. So very proud. It's a award which is shared across the tireless amount of staff and volunteers that we engage here at the sanctuary, and great testament to the wonderful work that they undertake every day.
Yes, and look, I have been up there, just to let people know. I've been up to your wonderful place there, Port Stephens Koala Sanctuary, a number of times, and it is a totally beautiful. You're blessed to be working there, and I guess congratulations on the silver too for the Tourism Award. I understand why that's happened, and it's equally nice, or at least it's given some extra quality to it when you know that it's there to serve the well-being and survival of koalas. That's for sure. Well done with that. Back to Mike for just a moment. Mike, the relationship between the hospital and, I guess, James and the sanctuary there, how do you two actually work together? And tell us a bit about that if you can.
Yes, Greg. We work very closely together. Obviously, not even just the name part of it, Port Stephens Koala Hospital and Port Stephens Koala Sanctuary, but we're on the same site, effectively. The hospital's not open to the public, unfortunately, but the sanctuary side of it is. That's what the tourists get to see. But we work very closely. We hold the licenses for the koalas that are on display in the sanctuary, so we look after them as well, do all the husbandry work for those, and look after their welfare from a veterinary perspective as well. So we look after that side of it, and James and his organisation looks after the tourism side. But we work extremely closely together because obviously without the other, one of us can't survive. It's a symbiotic relationship, I suppose. So, yeah, We work extremely closely together. We have regular meetings to discuss areas of mutual interest, talking about the koalas that are up on the sanctuary on display. And yeah, it's a good working relationship, and yeah, it's doing a lot to further the plight of the koalas.
Yes, look, it's an amazing thing that you do, and if we could just perhaps at the end of this conversation let people know how they can get in touch with you to help in this situation. We're going to take an ad break now, so we'll be away for a couple of seconds and then we'll be back.
Listening to Greg T. Ross and the Last Post Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Last Post Radio Show podcast series. And we're speaking with James Cook, Business Development and Marketing Manager at the Port Stephens Koala Sanctuary, and Mike Cowell, who's Managing Director of the Port Stephens Koala Hospital. We're discussing the plight of koala around the country and ways that we can help in the preservation of these wonderful animals. James, you've got a lot of things happening there at the sanctuary. You've got guides and the Skywalk. Can you tell us a bit about that, please?
Yeah, so Greg, as a part of the overall concept of the Koala Sanctuary, as Mike alluded to, we have built a facility, which let's call it like a five-star retirement village for sick, injured and orphan koalas who, due to their injuries, were unable to release back out into the wild. So they get to live their days, however long or short, with us here in what is, you know, quite a remarkable facility. The sanctuary, of course, you know, differs from its cousins of zoos and wildlife facilities in the fact that our koala here are wild koala, where koala in those other institutions are captive or captive bred koala. Mm. So what does that mean? That means here at the sanctuary, it's a very look but don't touch approach. This is really like you're going into koala habitat. They're not in ours. So it's a very uniquely different experience when you get an opportunity to walk up on the sanctuary Skywalk viewing platform, which is a 225-metre in length elevated boardwalk, takes guests up to 10 metres into the treetop canopy. They get to eyeball our wild koala and, again, you know, creating some remarkable holiday memories and, indeed, some phenomenal photographic opportunities. As a part of the build, we've ensured that we've removed as many of the barrier between our guests and our koalas, so you get these unobstructed views, which really give you a sense that you've visited koala habitat. Truly is a very unique way of seeing Australia's most iconic marsupial.
Well, I tell you what, James, just from someone who's been up there on a number of occasions, spot on. It's just the Skywalk is a magnificent experience, and yes, you do feel as though you're in koala habitat, and you can eyeball the lovely creatures and just get a feeling perhaps of what it's like to live in that environment that the koalas do. You've got it all decked out so well, and I'd recommend to anyone who is visiting Port Stephens or the 1 mile area to pop into the sanctuary and have a look at the hospital too, at the work being done. Mike, what about volunteers? What's the situation with volunteers?
At the moment, we're a fairly large organisation now. We've got in excess of 200 volunteers working in areas across our whole organisation, from looking after the koalas to administration, website management, managing our adoptions and donations programs, fundraising. You know, there's just across the organisation as a whole. We do have a number of employees that do a fantastic job as well. Obviously, there's some skill sets we require on site that we can't get through our volunteer programs. We have a full-time vet and a vet nurse. So, but our volunteers are very dedicated people that go in and look after the koalas. The problem facing us, though, is like all volunteer organisations across Australia, I think at the moment, there's a recognised shortage of and volunteer workforce. And that's, I think, due to a number of ongoing issues with the current economic climate and retirement ages, et cetera. But it is one that we face, even though we do have a large volunteer base. The koalas have to be looked after 365 days a year. So there's people on site all the time. So it's just an ongoing thing trying to manage all that and to make sure we've got enough people to do the job. And, you know, lifestyles are an issue for people. People are moving around. Our volunteer base is predominantly in the sort of the retirement age group. So they've got other family commitments as well, with grandchildren and travel and stuff. So it's an ongoing issue, but, you know, we manage, but we could do with some more volunteers.
Yeah, that's true, that's Mark. Just, and I guess the same thing for you, James.
For everyone.
Yeah, Greg, we have a fairly stable full-time employment across a number of the areas in which allows us to operate the sanctuary every day of the year, other than Christmas Day is when we're open. We also have an ambassador program, which kind of is our version of Mike's volunteer program. And our ambassadors are trained to be very forward-facing and meet the general public when you visit the sanctuary, maybe up on the skywalk, and really just personalise the experience a little more. So we've got about 30 or so ambassadors that, you know, are volunteer. They provide us with a few hours of their time as regularly as they can. We're always looking for additional ambassadors, certainly with the upcoming busy season approaching. So, yes, like Mike, our ambassadors are conflicted with their, you know, their lives, whether that's in retirement and or in part-time work as such. So it's always we're always on the lookout for additional ambassadors to provide support for our guests when they're visiting us.
And so for anyone listening that might be interested in living in the area, please get in contact with James and Mike regarding volunteer work. And Mike and James will give out contact details at the end of our chat so you can get down there and do some good work. What do you both expect with Christmas coming?
Yeah, at this particular point in time, from the sanctuary's perspective, Greg, full steam ahead. Of course, the Port Stephens region is a jewel in the tourism crown of New South Wales, and we benefit greatly from Sydneysiders who only need to drive 2.5 hours north, and they're within, you know, a pristine environment that either provides them opportunities to enjoy vast expanses of marine activity on the Nelson Bay area, or indeed, you know, possibly zooming down some of the sandhills at Stockton Beach, which is, of course, you know, the largest shifting sands in the Southern Hemisphere. Wedged in between all of that is a wonderful $10 million koala sanctuary that really gives tens of thousands of people who will be holidaying with us in the coming weeks great exposure to a very natural and wild environment.
It's look, I've got to put my hand up here and say it's a favourite spot of ours to go to, and a lot of family history in the area. It's a totally beautiful area, and Shoal Bay, etc., etc. It's a wonderful place to be. How lucky do you both feel to be working in this environment?
Oh, extremely lucky. It's the grounds on the sanctuary here are just beautiful when you walk through them in the morning with the gum trees, and if it's a nice sunny day and the blue skies, it's just a pleasure to come to work walking down through all the pavilions and gum trees.
Yeah, yeah, it's a beautiful, picturesque area.
Of the world, Greg, you're exactly right. A lot of memory for a lot of people. A lot of what we call intergenerational tourism that comes to Port Stephens, where many different generations holiday together because they have been doing so for, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60 odd years or so. So it is certainly a well-loved part of New South Wales.
Yes, many happy memories there and many more to come. It's certainly a place that's hard to stay away from. And why not visit Port Stephens and at the same time drop in to see James and Mike at the Port Stephens Koala Hospital and Sanctuary, respectfully. What else can people do to help here? I mean, you can give out your details, but also what, contact local politicians and the local newspapers, guys?
I suppose the best way that people can help us, the hospital itself, is through our donations and adoptions program. We have a program where you can go online and adopt one of our koalas for a $50 fee, and or to make a donation. And that's all available through our website, and information about volunteering and any other aspects of the hospital are available on our website, which is Port Stephens Koalas, all one word, .com.au.
Quite simple. Wonderful stuff. And of course, a shout out also regarding the last post, adopting Sharon. And we hear that Sharon has returned to the wilderness.
She has, yes. Been a clean bill of health and been released back to where she belongs.
Wonderful. Isn't that absolutely wonderful? Well, to both of you, it's been an utmost pleasure and will continue to be an utmost pleasure, knowing that not only are we putting our hands up to help with the preservation of koalas around the country, because this is obviously an umbrella situation where the more awareness there is, the more interest there is from the general public. And having a look at the real issues behind the problems at the moment, be it deforestation, habitat loss, dog attacks and road incidents. But to James Cook and to Mike Cowell from the Port Stephens Koala Hospital and Port Stephens Koala Sanctuary, we thank you very, very much for being on the Last Post Radio Show.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
And we certainly wish all Last Post listeners the most joyous of Christmas and a safe New Year.
Thank you so much, James. And thank you so much, Mike. And we wish you a happy Christmas and holiday period to the both of you and your families, and, of course, the Sanctuary and Hospital in the meantime.
Pleasure.
Thanks.